Come on, it's that inner work. Begin to ask him right now. Come on, just take a moment and say, oh God, by your power, by your anointing, oh God, we cry out to you. Come by the Holy Spirit, we pray, and work deeply. God, change us. Come on, begin to ask him, change me right now. I want to be conformed into your likeness from the inside out, oh God. I need you. I need you, God. I need you. I need your word. I need that transforming power. This world has left me empty. From the inside out, work in me, God. Do something supernatural, God. By the Holy Ghost, Father. I give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you. And I bless you. Come on, let's exalt him tonight. Let's praise him tonight. Don't patty cake. Come on, let's give him glory. Let's honor Jesus. How many of you were here? How many of you were here on Sunday? Come on, let's give a shout out for Pastor Murphy. Come on, who brought the word, my younger brother. If you were here Sunday, but before I introduce, I want you to take a moment and high five two or three people around you and tell them you look good. It's good to see you. You ready? We're going to have an amazing time together. As we already have in his presence through our praise and our worship. Now we're ready for the word. And I want you to stand and I want you to help me welcome. On Sunday we had Pastor Murphy, my younger brother. Tonight, my nephew, Pastor Murph's son, Christian and Joel. Both sons are here tonight, and Christian's wife, Hannah Lynn, is here. And we're so excited. And I want you to give a third Thursday welcome to the youth pastor at Cedar Lake and my nephew, Pastor Christian Matheny. Come on.
All right, come on, give it up for Jesus in this place, everybody. Come on. Man, nobody better, nobody greater. Man, Jumbo, that's all I got. God bless you, you can be seated. Every time I've tried to speak Swahili since I've been over here, my wife gets embarrassed of me. So I just limited a little bit, okay? So, but man, I just want to start out before I dive into the Word of God. I just want to honor, can we honor the father and mama of this house, Pastor Don and Miss Amy? Man, it's just, I was honored to be invited to come. It was amazing coming here on Sunday. Man, if you're not coming on Sunday morning, you are missing out because it was a party. And we had a great time. We've seen just over the internet and social media all the pictures of this church and videos. And so it's been so cool just to get to experience it and meet some of you. So we're excited. And again, I just want to just honor my dad, too, who is my pastor. And I'm on his staff and he signs my paycheck. So I got to honor him while I'm up here, too. But I'm just so thankful for him and he's believed in me. And man, just such an amazing, not just pastor, but father first. And he loves Jesus, and I'm just thankful to be his son. And then I have my wife with me again. I just want to, hey, go ahead and stand up. If you can't see her, it's because she's 4'8", but she's here, I promise. And she's the beautiful blonde down there. I just want her to be mad at me for later, so that'll be fun. And then I have my brother, Joel, who I am the better looking brother of the two, okay? I am probably, 45 pounds heavier, but that's how my wife likes it, okay? I was married first, let it be known, okay? Let it be known. In fact, he met his wife our wedding week. You guys started talking, is that about right? Well, you're welcome. You are welcome. So most people get confused. So I am 28 years old And I probably don't look it. I probably just look so young and lively. The problem is everybody thinks Joel is older than me. I'm 6 years older than him, okay? So I can still take him for a little while longer. The problem is I cannot grow any facial hair, okay? And so if I don't even use shaving cream. That's how bad it is. I just shave in the shower and it takes about 2 seconds and I'm done, okay? And so because of that, I get to stay young for a long time. My brother, he grows a little more. He has some little tiny hairs up there that you can see. And so he gets to claim the facial hair award. But man, I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. I'm blessed. And man, it's just been so awesome getting to be a part of this church. And, you know, speaking of my wife, I was thinking about, and we were talking about before the service, the day that we got engaged. Are you okay if I share that story real quick? Okay, so man, it was a special day, okay? I had everything prepared. I had told her that we were going to meet some friends for dinner. There were no friends, and there was no dinner, but I got her to where we were supposed to go. And as we were walking to where I was going to propose, I was wearing a jacket. She did not bring one. The ring was in my jacket pocket. And so as we're walking, and it's very cold outside, and it starts raining, and she says, "Can I have your jacket, please?" And I said, "No." You can't have my..." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And she admitted she got a little toasty. She was a little angry with me for a minute there. And I kind of made her sit in the rain for a little bit, and it was, you know, it was a little tense for a few minutes. But after a while, we sat by the lake. We had to wait because there was this old guy that, like, wouldn't leave, that was fishing. And so we were trying to, like, get him somewhere else nicely. And but what happened was I sat her down on a bench, and I had this journal. Okay, listen, guys, just take notes, okay, because I'm pretty romantic a lot sometimes, okay? In this journal, I had written on probably 100 different days all of our experiences and how much I loved her. And I had pictures that I had taken, and I whipped it out, and I got on one knee, and I had a journal written for that day. And I said, "This is the day you have been waiting for." And she said, "If this is fake, I'm pushing you in this pond behind me," which made me feel really good inside. And afterwards, I gave her the ring, and she said, "Yes, thank the Lord." And then she said, "Oh, I'm so excited. So are we going to eat dinner now, since that's why we came here?" I said, "Oh, no, that was a lie to get you here. We have to drive an hour and a half back to our house. That's where we had the party." And so we drove through McDonald's as an engaged couple. Praise the Lord, okay? And but let me tell you one thing I didn't skimp out on, okay? Now, I don't make a lot of money at all, but I wanted to make sure if there's one thing that I spent some money on, it was the ring, okay? Now, I could have gone down to Walmart and got a little $30 ring, and but I wanted to do a little bit better. So I went to a jeweler and I said, "Okay, what's the best you got within this price range? What's the best you got?" And they showed me, man, it was the most beautiful ring with the diamond, man. It wasn't the biggest diamond, but it was beautiful. And man, I gave it to her and I was just so thankful. She loved it. I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." I was so nervous. And so what's funny is I had somebody, when I showed them the ring, I'm just so excited. They go, "Oh, that's how big it is?" Yeah, I just paid a lot of money for it. And they said, "Well, you know, you can get a fake one that's way bigger for the same price." And I just thought, yeah, I'm sure my wife would really love that, you know, something that's not genuine, but maybe is bigger. And I was thinking about that as I was getting ready to speak tonight. There's only one time where I get to have an opportunity to tangibly express my love to her before we get married in that special way. It's never going to happen again. That moment is gone. Thank the Lord, I nailed it, okay? But that only happens once. And so I wanted to make sure that she got the best of me, that what she got was real. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't something cheap, but that it cost me something. Because the most valuable things to others are the ones that cost us something. And I was just thinking about that because it's the exact same in our relationship with Jesus. As there's coming a day where we're going to have an opportunity to tangibly express our love and our adoration and our gratefulness to Jesus. And that moment is going to come one time when we're going to have crowns, the Bible says, that we're going to get to lay at His feet. And I want the biggest, best, baddest crown, that I want people to be judging me by how big my crown is that I'm laying at Jesus' feet. Because I only got one shot, and it's this life that I'm living right now. Man, God is after nothing fake, but He's after real, genuine, authentic faith. And man, I don't know how much it is like here, but I can tell you in the States, we kind of have a battle that we wage war against as Christians. Is it's really easy to want to be a stylish Christian. We joke around because there's like certain outfits that you wear if you're a Christian. Is it like that here? There are certain outfits you wear, there are certain shoes you wear, and you can look the part. You can speak the part. You can act like a Christian, but still, man, maybe your faith isn't genuine. And what I call that is you can be a Christian of style. You can have a faith of style where it looks the part, but it's empty on the inside. Or you can have a faith of substance, that there's something real and genuine. One of the things in Scripture that I love that King David said that I just quote all the time is when he was making an offering to the Lord, he said, "I refuse to offer my God something that costs me nothing." The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and he warned Timothy. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. They will love pleasure." Everybody say pleasure. "They will love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that makes them godly. So stay away from people like that." So Paul's talking to Timothy, who is his adopted son in the faith. And he goes, "I got to tell you some people to stay away from. People who claim they know God, but it's not evident in the way they live. You need to stay away from them. I'm just warning you." Because Paul is just giving us a glimpse. He's giving Timothy a glimpse into God's heart and what God wants. And just let me tell you something. It could be very easy as a believer, as a person of faith, to just get comfortable as a person of faith. To start coasting through life, especially when we know that our destiny and our eternity is heaven. Sometimes it can be easy to just put our life on cruise control. Man, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Don preached a powerful message on Sunday talking about the pool of Bethesda. And the man that was lame, that Jesus had to come and heal him, he could never make it into the pool by himself. But just think, if he would have really put some effort and time and thought into it, if he would have really been intentional and been ready, I mean, you're telling me, dude, that somebody beats you into that pool every single time? You couldn't do nothing? Just, man, think about how many years of walking did he miss out on? How many years of sitting there happened because he was just complacent? He accepted where he was at. Man, when God had something so much greater, can you imagine if even he had something greater than being healed by Jesus, if just a couple years later he had gotten into that pool? Let me tell you something. God has something far greater in store for you than you can imagine. Far greater. It comes with a cost. It comes with the price of allowing him to do a work in our hearts. It comes with the cost of many things that we choose to spend our lives doing and letting God work in us. Let me tell you something. It's far easier to act godly than to be godly. It's far easier. Have you heard the story of the three little pigs? Okay. If you haven't, the story of the three little pigs, and that's funny, huh? The three little pigs and the big bad wolf. And there's one pig that builds a house made of straw. What happens when the wolf huffs and puffs and blows? What happens? It comes crashing down. And for many of us, when we have a faith that's built on style and it looks good on the outside, but there's nothing on the inside, when trials in life come our way, our faith is tested, and when life squeezes us, the truth is going to come out. That's why, man, difficult times really show our character. Man, we saw a lot of people's real level of faith when COVID happened, didn't it? Man, when you're faced with trouble and trials, it really reveals something. And I was thinking about a story of two different men in the Bible, in the same story, that one valued style. He was somebody that cared about what people thought more than God. And he was a man of faith, but it all came crumbling down when life got hard. But then the guy who replaced him, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Does anybody know who I'm talking about in this room? I want us to read about the anointing of King David in 1 Samuel 16. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'You've mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.' But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' 'Take a heifer with you or a bull,' the Lord replied, 'and say that you've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me.'" I'm going to show you. They're all going to be in front of you, and I'm going to show you who the next king's going to be. So it says, "Samuel did as the Lord instructed, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him." "What's wrong?" they asked. Isn't it fun? You just know you're a fun person to be around when people greet you with, "What's wrong?" Right when you show up. Just makes you feel so special inside. "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied. "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the..." Does anybody know? The Lord looks at the heart. Man judges by outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Man, we read on as they just parade son after son, and they all look kingly. And God continues to say, "Nope, that's not him. That's not him. That's not him." And so they go through all the sons that are there, and God says it's none of them. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Is there anybody else?" "Well, my son, who I didn't think was even worth being here," which just makes fatherly love, makes it so nice. He says he's out watching the sheep. And so Samuel has him bring him in, and immediately God says, "That's the one." And David is selected. The guy who wasn't even chosen to be present in the first place is chosen to be king. Why? Because it says he was a man after God's own heart. It's a stark difference, because Saul, the current king, the Bible says that he loved the praise of man more than he loved God. That he wanted to please man more than he wanted to please God. When pressure came before a battle, he had a choice where he could either honor God and make the right decision, or he could follow what the people wanted to do. And when he chose to follow the people instead, God said, "I'm done with you. You've done this multiple times. I need somebody who's after my heart." What we can see here is a story of two different men, that one values what's seen, but one values what's unseen. That his faith, David could not be so easily toppled. That David was the one who stood when Saul was a coward and couldn't stand and face Goliath. David was the one whose faith stood tall on that day, and he took 5 stones and killed Goliath as a small, small boy. His faith couldn't be so easily toppled. And I want to talk about, as believers, or maybe just in life, if you're in this room, there are times where we have to choose, are we going to be a person of style that people look at and see and go, "Wow," but maybe there's nothing on the inside? Are we going to value what's seen, or are we going to value substance, what's not seen? Substance can't be toppled. Substance is secure. And so I want to talk about some of the differences between being a person of style and being a person of substance really quickly. One, style is a microwave, okay? Does anybody in here like microwaved food? Just, man, it's the best, isn't it? It is. Just, why go out to a restaurant when you can just microwave stuff all the time? It's so good. Man, there's a microwaving is the worst way to cook food. Can we just all agree? Okay, microwave, it's not good. Man, when you try and microwave something, it gets all soggy and nasty. There's a chef on a TV show I was watching the other day that he will literally inspect the food when he goes out. And if he sees that it's been microwaved, he will get angry and he will make sure that they never use a microwave because it destroys the quality of the food. It's tempting for us to try and take shortcuts in life. As young adults, as young Christians, it's tempting in school, it's tempting at work, it's easy to just give in when people around you don't have integrity and they just slack off and you're okay with the standard not being held. It's easy to do it in our faith. And let me tell you something, man, when you're at this age, man, and even me, you have this idea of who you want to be. And we can picture it and we want to get to that place of who we want to be, what we want to do. But what happens is a lot of times we see who we want to be, but we have to be willing to deal with what's on the inside and go to work, man, with dealing with ourselves before God can use us and bring us to that place he wants us to be. A quote that I love is, if a man wants to change the world, he must first resolve to change himself. Let me just tell you, Jesus is our Savior. Man, Jesus loves you. Man, he died for you. He is amazing. He is our Savior. But let me tell you what the Bible also says is he is our Redeemer. You know what that means? Is he doesn't just save us so we can go to heaven, but he redeems us and makes us more like him. He works things out in our life, man, that we feel defeated in, things that we struggle with. He gives us the strength to overcome, to become the person that we were originally created to be. But that work takes time. It's not done overnight, but it's through devoting ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. Man, God doesn't raise spiritual giants in a microwave. The world is full of young people. It's full of leaders that have many developed gifts. Man, I can just say there's so much talent in this room. So much talent, so many gifts that God's given you. But what we have to be careful of is we can have incredible gifts but no character. Because we've never allowed God to work in our hearts. We go through the motions of faith and life as a Christian, but is there any real transformation? God doesn't work like a microwave. See, style is a microwave, but let me tell you, substance, I don't know if you guys have these over here. I think you do. Substance is a crock pot. Do we have crock pots over here? Okay, just cool. Crock pots are my favorite. You can just throw anything in there. And when you come home 8 hours later, it's amazing. It tastes delicious because it sits there and it stews. But let me tell you something even better. Where I'm from, we have these things called shrimp boils, or we have crawfish boils. And what happens is you put them all in this humongous pot, and you put all of these seasonings in there, and we like it spicy, okay? So we invite all the neighbors to come over. We throw a huge party, and we get 50 pounds of shrimp. And we put them all in this pot, and it doesn't just take 10 minutes to cook. It's got to sit. And when it sits in that juice and all those spices, you know what happens? Man, they don't just cook, but they soak up all that flavor. Man, that it makes it so good. Y'all just need to have a shrimp boil over here one day, Uncle Don. Let me just tell you, there's nothing like it. Everybody, I'm telling you, back home, they're posting on Facebook, it's only 10 more days till shrimp season. We can have us some shrimp boils. They love it so, it's so good. But that's what happens if we're a person of substance. Man, we've spent time soaking in the presence of God and in the practices of God. Man, you have to go deep into your faith. Diamonds are not found on the surface. They're found deep below the earth. We have to be committed, man, to doing, letting God do the deep work in our life through patience and consistency. Man, the Bible says in Proverbs 9, wisdom has built her house. You know what that means? It's wise for me to not let everybody else live my life for me, but I'm going to take care of what's mine. I'm going to choose to accept responsibility. I'm going to be intentional about my life. I'm not just going to let it go by, but I want to make a difference and an impact in my life. So what that looks like is, one, man, I want to have a devotional life where I meet with God daily. Man, I want to get into His Word. His Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It means consistency, that God's Word is our daily bread, not our weekly feast. It comes with prayer and fasting. It comes with community and accountability and calling each other higher. It comes with serving without being recognized. It comes with being faithful in small things. Man, substance is formed not through doing great things occasionally, but doing simple things every day. We choose to be faithful. We do what we say we're going to do. Man, that's tough right there sometimes, isn't it? We show up on time. Oh my goodness. When we work with a good attitude as unto the Lord. When we're overlooked, when we're taken advantage of, when we're treated poorly or unfairly, these are things that God uses to develop substance in our life. And as we do that daily, as we submit to Him daily and walk with the Holy Spirit, it produces fruit in our lives. We're transformed. The Bible says we're transformed into the image of Jesus. Man, that's the difference between style and substance, a faith that can be toppled and a faith that can withstand anything. Let me tell you what else style does. Style meets wants. Style is all about what you want, what you desire. It seeks to satisfy something. Man, if you're a person of style, when it comes to your faith, man, I'm going to seek to please myself. Man, and really, if I'm honest, it's probably because I'm insecure. And I need people to see me and think highly of me, because I don't have a lot of confidence in myself. And so I want to make sure that I'm happy. I want to make sure that others are happy. Maybe your entire life is about pleasing people. And maybe it's not about pleasing God, but you've lived your whole life trying to make the people around you happy, but not God happy. And maybe you're living the purpose that somebody else has for you, but not the purpose that God ordained your life from the beginning, before you were born. The way we can kind of see about trying to fill this void in our heart and pleasing ourselves and pleasing others is through comparison. Man, you get on Instagram, you get on Facebook, you get on TikTok. Man, you see what other people are doing, you see their life, and when they seem farther down the line than you are, man, I deal with this. When I see somebody that they look like they've got it going on, and I'm sitting there in my PJs with a Coke, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to get my act together. Comparison is the killer of potential and purpose. I just got to tell you, if you are looking at your destiny and your purpose and judging it by the person next to you, man, I'm praying that God would give you a grace to run the race He's put before you, because God has a purpose on your life that is unique to you. Man, I'm telling you, when you begin to serve Jesus, there's nothing like it. Man, you will unlock new gifts and abilities for His kingdom that you never thought possible. And so many of us, we try and do what God made somebody else to do, and so we're ineffective. We get discouraged when, man, God made us to do something that nobody else can do. We need to stop looking at everybody's highlight reel on social media and judging that by the valley that we find ourselves in. Man, when we're somebody of style, we really just use that to cover up the depravity and the emptiness of our hearts and our souls. We build our entire lives around everybody else, and we never discover who it is that God made us to be. And we just fill our lives with things that don't matter. We try and find purpose in other places. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2:13, God speaking to His prophet, to His people, and He said, "My people have done two evil things." He says, "They've abandoned me, the fountain of living water." and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. So he says, my people, I'm the only one that can satisfy their souls. And so not only have they abandoned me, but the things they're trying to fill their life with, they have cracked cisterns that can't even hold any water at all. And what happens is when we prefer style over substance, man, when it becomes about us, man, we live insecure and we just try and find anything that we can to try and fill the void in our heart that only Jesus Christ can give. Jesus is the well that never runs dry. He's the water that when you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. Jesus is enough for us. Man, just whatever you're facing in life, Jesus can be enough. How can we tell the world that Jesus is the answer to them if he is not our answer for us? We need Christians, and I encourage, man, I have teenagers that I pastor week in and week out, and I tell them almost every week, I say the way that you live your life through difficult times will show the world that Jesus is all you need. When life squeezes us and life gets difficult, our faith is revealed. Because style meets wants, but substance will meet needs. It's not flashy. It's not easily shaken. Let me tell you something, man, through everything in life, every battle you walk through, every fire that you walk through, your attitude, your spirit, your demeanor should be the ultimate testimony to the all-sufficiency of Jesus in our lives. Let me just tell you something. If you're married in this room, your marriage should be the testimony to the all-sufficiency of Jesus. Because let me tell you something, I love my spouse, but she doesn't meet the need that Jesus meets in my life. And let me tell you something, if you're single in this room and you're a believer, show the world that Jesus is still enough. Then get married. Come on, praise the Lord. All right. When we're after substance, we can live securely. You know, the Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Is Jesus really all we need? Something you can hear, we hear sometimes in churches, we say, take this world and give me Jesus. When Jesus is enough, we're not trying to satisfy ourselves with everything else. Our desire shifts from trying to please others to now, I just want to please the Lord. I'm not trying to get somebody else to notice me. I'm not trying to win the approval. I'm not constantly living frustrated because I'm not getting where I need to be. I'm not just frustrated and a victim of my circumstances because I'm not in control. But I understand that my life has one purpose, to bring Jesus glory and honor and praise. Because of what he's done for me, the Apostle Paul wrote, because Christ died for one, we all die to ourselves. Because of what Jesus did for me, I give my life up. Our desire is going to shift. Oh my goodness, the freedom that happens when you stop trying to make everybody happy. It's not about pleasing yourself. And you begin to please the Lord. The psalm in Psalms 19, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Man, I pray that almost every day. I say, God, I don't want people to just see and then think because I'm a pastor that I follow you. God, I want the words of my mouth to honor you. Everything that I say, for you to be honored and glorified, God. I don't want to be somebody different behind closed doors that I am on this platform. God, I want to honor you in the way that I love my wife, in the way that I love my son, in the way that I serve the people around me. And I pray not just in what I say, but I pray what's in here. God, that my attitude, that my mind would please you, that when I have to go through things and do things that I don't want to do, God, that I would do it with a good attitude as unto the Lord, that you would be pleased not just with what I do, but how I do it, God. That's what a person of substance does. It's not just about what's on the outside, but it's about what God is doing on the inside. When I can learn to have a good attitude and rejoice in the Lord in doing things that are difficult, I can take anything life throws my way. Let me tell you one more thing about difference between style and substance. Style is temporary. When I became youth pastor 8 years ago, I was cool for 2 months. And then I was the old guy. I was out, okay? all my students, it used to be I would like go to their birthday parties and they'd be like, oh, it's Pastor Christian, what's up? Now I walk in, I'm like, hey guys, and they're like, oh, he's here. Oh my goodness. And they just walk away. I'm not cool anymore. I get made fun of. I'm wearing, according to my wife, these are shoes that dads wear. And so style doesn't last forever. Style impresses people, but people are never impressed for long, right? Everything that we see is temporary. The only thing that will last is our investment into the kingdom of God. And we have to make sure we invest where it counts. Let me tell you, most people, I counsel college students at our church, and let me tell you what most of them spend their time doing, is we can spend our 20s pursuing pleasure, pursuing things that make us happy. Man, and for some, maybe it's things like alcohol, smoking, or drugs, things that maybe you can understand might are not good for a believer to engage in. But maybe there are some things that they don't have to be bad for it to be worthless when it comes to eternity. Man, you can spend so much time on social media. Oh my goodness, just scroll, 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 compare, compare, compare. I live for the likes. You can become somebody that your whole life is entertainment and movies, and you can sit there and watch Netflix. Or let me tell you something that I even had to battle with. My friends almost became too important at one time. And let me just say, man, God gave us friends for a reason and godly community. I am who I am because I have friends that encourage me, that call me out, that tell me when I'm straying away from the Lord. But there's also been many times where if I cannot be alone with my thoughts, if I always have to be around somebody because I'm at war with what's going on inside, there's a work that God needs to do in me. There was one time I could not be alone and God said, you need to just stay away from your friends for 2 weeks. I got some work I want to do on you and in you. Because man, is great all these things that God's given us, man, thank you Lord for blessing us, but let's not let the blessing blind us to the blesser. So I lost some weight last year, and I lost probably like 60 pounds. It's been great, man. I'm real happy about it. So is my wife. It's great. And you don't have to applaud. No, it's good. It's good. But here's how I stay motivated. And this is kind of messed up, okay? I'm just going to tell. Like, there was this clip I saw on the internet of this show where people weigh 700 to 800 pounds. And I would just watch it and I'd be like, okay, this is why I need to stay on my diet right here. Because I do not want to get any bigger. And when you watch a show like that, what I noticed was every time when somebody has an addiction to food, they would always say, life was good until this happened, this disappointment, this frustration. And so let's take out an addiction to food and let's just put anything else there. Because of the things in our life, the disappointments that we face, we go back to these broken cisterns and we begin to realize that nothing satisfies, that there's nothing that can satisfy our souls like Jesus Christ. Man, maybe there's things that you're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with a sin, or maybe you're struggling with an addiction, or maybe you're struggling with your thoughts, and maybe you're struggling with your mental health. Maybe you're struggling in your body with a health issue. Maybe you're walking through something right now. And I just want to encourage you that the fire you are facing right now, that Jesus is enough, that he is with you, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you are in a church that is here to empower you and strengthen you and equip you. The Bible says that we have victory in Jesus Christ. If I can get the keys behind me. Substance is temporary. Style is temporary. But you know what's eternal, that never ends? Substance, what's on the inside. The person that God is making me into. Man, the person that I'm focused on right now and trying to become like Christ and be like Jesus. And I'm putting to death, the Bible says, putting to death the works of the flesh, the parts in me that wage war against my spirit. Paul said, man, I want to do the right thing, but I keep finding myself doing the wrong thing. That side of me, I'm waging war because I want to become like Jesus, because one day we are going to stand before Jesus Christ. And I just think about that day. The way that I picture it is I'm a pastor's son. And I just remember as a kid, my dad had these two really ugly green chairs in his office. And these big old chairs, that's where he would have meetings. And I remember there was one time where he called me into his office when I was a kid. And that wasn't a good sign. And I just remember I sat in one chair. And I just remember I hear the door close behind me. And here he walks. And he sits down. I'm kind of just in tears already. And we just had to have a not fun conversation. Father to son. But this is what I think about. The God who gave his life for me. Who sacrificed everything because he loves me so much. And he gave me an opportunity to live for him and to make a difference. And how many times have I made excuses? How many times have I gone a different direction? How many times have I chose myself instead of him? And I just think about that day where my life is over. I've run my race. And I'm sitting in the chair. And after all the days of my life of singing and shouting and praising and doing my best to serve him and live for him, but all of my mistakes, all of my problems that I let get the best of me, everything that I did that was selfish and not for God, man, I just imagine as I hear the door shut at the end of my life, and in walks Jesus. And all of a sudden, knowing that I'm forgiven because of his blood and his grace, I'm going to have to give an account for what I did with that. Man, Jesus, I was only 28. I didn't feel like there was much I could do. Jesus, I was 22 and I was in college. Did you see what was going on in my life? It really was difficult. It was hard. I had to be kind of complacent. I couldn't go all in for you. And I just imagine, man, with his love and grace looking at me, man, I want so badly on that day to say, Jesus, I did everything I could for you. Jesus, I gave everything I had for you. Take this world. Give me, Jesus, what you did for me. I wanted to do everything I could to give it to you. Jesus is worth it, guys. Jesus is worth everything we have. There is nothing that can satisfy our souls. He is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Man, who is like our God? And I just pray that it doesn't take me sitting face to face with him to understand and recognize that. I want to do it now because just like I had one opportunity to bless my wife, the life that I'm living right now is going to culminate when one day I'm going to be kneeling at Jesus' feet and there's going to be a crown of all of my accomplishments. But I'm going to be so in awe of who Jesus is that I won't be able to help it but take off my crown, everything that I take pride in, and say, Jesus, you are so much greater. There's only going to be one time where I'm going to be able to bless him tangibly with the fruit of my life. I want the biggest stinking crown I could ever get because Jesus is worth it. I want to do everything I can now. I don't want to make excuses. I want to pursue him with all that I have, not because my life looks great on the outside, but Jesus is going to be staring right at my core of who I am. And I just want him to see that I'm so thankful, that I'm so honored. Jesus, I gave you everything that I had. And I just want to challenge you tonight. What are you going to have to cast at the feet of Jesus? What are you going to have to cast at his feet? If your life was to end tonight and you were ushered into eternity and your race was over and run, what would you have to say to Jesus? What would you have to offer him? I want to give God the opportunity in my life to produce every diamond that I can possibly get, no matter how hard the work is, no matter how much junk God has to work out of my heart, no matter how much selfishness He has to work through and pride, no matter how much pain I have to walk through, man, because I want to give Jesus my absolute best. Man, I want to encourage you tonight and just challenge you. When you really look at your life, if you take an honest picture, what is it that you really value? What is it that really has your heart? Have you allowed God to do a deep work in you and root out those things that you've had for so long? Are you stuck, struggling with the same sin, the same problem, the same struggle over and over and over again, where we need Jesus to come and grab it at the root and rip it out? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Love, joy, peace. How about patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If the world looked at your life, would they think that Jesus is enough for you? And what will you have to lay at His feet? Man, I just want to challenge you guys. I love Jesus with my whole heart. Let me tell you what I struggle with. I often struggle with feeling inadequate. I often struggle with comparison, like I've just preached on. I often struggle and just wonder, God, are you pleased with me? And I just want to tell you tonight, out of all of those things, what I've understood and come to know about myself is, amidst all my doubt and unbelief and everything that I've walked through, I've found that Jesus is all that I need, that He is the answer, that He is the bright and morning star. That everywhere where I fall short, Jesus rises to the occasion. Tonight, maybe you're here and you follow Jesus. You're a person of faith. If you were to be exposed in this room and everybody was to see your heart and what was on the inside, what would it reveal? If you maybe were to look on the outside how your heart is on the inside, would we maybe be rushing you to a hospital right now? Maybe you're in this room and you don't know Jesus. You haven't experienced the powerful, life-giving, amazing love and forgiveness and life-changing power that comes from knowing Him. Let me tell you that He loves you so much that He is here to meet with you right now. And that maybe your life, like we've talked about, has been a broken cistern. And you've just been trying to find something to satisfy your soul. Man, I want to tell you tonight that you can leave satisfied. That you can leave knowing that there's hope. That you have a future. That you have a family here. Ultimately, my prayer tonight, Lord, I've done my best to share your word. I pray that you would be glorified and honored, Jesus, in this place. Lord, I pray that our hearts would glorify you in this place. If you're with me tonight and you say, I want Jesus to have all of me, I want Jesus to have my absolute best in life, would you just stand and begin to worship Him with me tonight? Jesus, we give you all that we have. Jesus, we commit our lives to you from the inside out. Everything that we are belongs to you. Everything that we walk through, God, we give you every trial, every struggle and circumstance and situation. And we just say, Jesus, you are enough. You are enough. Be glorified and lifted up and honored in this place. In the name of Jesus, God, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for the precious sacrifice that you made. Not just when you died on the cross for us, but that you chose to come and live here and face every single trial that we face. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would be honored and praised tonight with not just what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.